Let's open to 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 this evening. It's going to be our starting point. Now, I realize that 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 is not the typical verse, typical passage that a normal missionary would use. Well, you got me instead. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There's a couple words in here that we're going to try and focus in on tonight. And they rather mean the same thing I learned in the Spanish service, that in Spanish they're the same thing. Why they use different words in English, I don't know. But the words abide and continue in you, and the idea of remaining and being faithful, we're all dealing with the same thought there. If we don't do those things, if we don't abide, if we don't continue as Christians, we cannot be a success. We'll fail. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Bible. It is precious, more than what we can describe, more than what we can appreciate. It has secrets to life, and it has mysteries which we cannot even begin to understand because it's the mind of God. And we're thankful for those things, God. Help us tonight to understand just a little bit more and to let it change our life, to make us have greater resolve to do that which is right. In Jesus' name, amen. The idea of continue describes our last term in Japan, every missionary service in Japan, the Christians in Japan. In fact, the life of Christians everywhere. We need to continue. But it just seems that it was the past term in Japan, this word really fit it. Just having to continue. It has been said that in Japan, one convert per year is good, average, normal. Folks, I don't like that. You know, I'd like to have more than one convert per year. We had four last time. Eight would have been nice. You know, if God sent us 16 converts, I'd relish a challenge of what do I do with all those people. But we need to be continuing. We need to be faithful. Satan is going to tempt us to quit. Maybe not quit living the Christian life, but just not do it so much. Or, in our case, tempt us to come back to America where the work would be, quotation marks, easier. It's only natural that it happens. Satan's going to make it happen. We cannot help the temptation. But what do we do with the temptation? How do we react to it? That's where the continuing comes in. We have a powerful enemy. We cannot help that. But we don't want to dwell and think about Satan. We don't want to forget about him either, obviously. If we do that, he's going to get to us. We need to think about our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Savior. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. He'll give us knowledge. But we need to be doing what is right. We need to be continuing. The consequences of not continuing are eternal. And I'm not going to think of this tonight from our point of view, our eternity. You know, I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I'm a born-again Christian, and God promises me that in the Bible. I'm not even going to deal with the fact that if I don't continue, my eternal rewards aren't going to be what they could be. I want to keep it on earth here tonight to see some of the effects of what can happen if we continue. And maybe dwell just a little bit on what happens if we don't continue in the lives of other people. Continuing is just doing the right thing, teaching when you have the opportunity. You know, trying to get people to listen. Doing what it takes to perk their interest. There's a challenge that I laid before the church, a need that I laid before the church is that we need families. So I said, let's pray for three families to join us. And I gave them the names of the families, people that we've worked with. My wife mentioned one. And that's a classic story of continuing. For the reasons mentioned and others in the question and answer time, it takes a long time for a person in Japan, from the time they first begin to hear the gospel, to hear Bible teaching, to become a Christian, takes a long time. There's another thing that I don't like, but I can't help it. I'm glad I'm there ministering, but I would dearly love to have things speed along more sometimes. I talked to the men at church, and I inquired of their Christian testimonies. And the specific question was this: from the time that you began to learn about the Bible and salvation until you became a Christian, how much time passed? The shortest answer was 7 years. I don't like that, you know. Some of them don't have 7 years to wait. But we just have to continue. We have noticed that when somebody gets saved in a church, whether it's our church or a different church, that is not where they first heard the gospel. They heard it somewhere else, oftentimes as a child. I'm going to talk about Hisami's family tonight. Hisami was not saved. Her parents wanted her to have a good American education so she could learn English. I believe she wasn't saved when she came to America, right? So she came to America. They sent her to Trinity, I'm forgetting the name of the place, in Jacksonville, Florida. What's the name of the place? Trinity College. So she could go to their high school. And naturally there, she's going to be exposed to the gospel. So she became a Christian and then said, this is a good thing. I'm going to continue here and get my Bible college education here. So she went back to Japan, having the intent of working in the church, and immediately got distracted. So somebody continued working with her in the U.S. It's easy to continue with somebody when they go to your school, you know, they get taught every day. So when she was then confronted with that on a daily basis, she backed off. She's currently married and has 3 kids. Her husband's not a Christian. But God, you know, He never gives up. He's the champion for continuing. And aren't we glad of that? If God didn't continue in our life, none of us would be here. She's reached the point where she says, you know, I'm going to heaven. I'd like my kids to learn some of these things also. So she came back to church just to see what it was like. Brought her husband, brought her kids. She said, if I bring my kids, will you have a Sunday school? Well, what are we supposed to say? Nah, we don't have kids here. Yes, yes, we'll have a Sunday school. Because Mrs. Nagase said, you know, when I retire, I'm going to be able to teach a Sunday school here. So, you know, that's another reason we need kids. So we can have Mrs. Nagase teaching. So when they left, we said to Mrs. Nagase, you know, you're going to have to be ready to teach a lesson next week. She said, huh? We said, they might be back next week to teach a lesson. So we had to go to Sapporo. We had to go there anyway. And we stopped at a Christian bookstore and bought a lesson for her so that if these kids showed up, she could teach it. But they showed up, what, 2 weeks later? And they've not been faithful. They haven't come back since we've been in America. But you know what? God is working in her life. And we're praying for them every day. You know, we want those 3 kids, and we want that husband to come to Christ. I've sent them a postcard. I'm letting them know we haven't forgotten. We're not going to give up on them. Hisami's going to heaven. Her kids, her husband, aren't. If we give up and say it isn't worth it, where do they go for eternity? Probably to hell. There's not a great chance that they're going to hear the gospel from somebody else because there's not a lot of Christians around to share with them. If we continue, they might get to heaven. But I can almost guarantee if we don't, they're not going to. I'm not willing to let that happen. And we want Hisami to come back and to be faithful. That means that we have to be faithful. We have to continue. Mr. Hamada, my wife took the kids to an indoor playground. He approached her so that he could speak English. He spent 6 months in Seattle. You know, sometimes people get a wrong impression and you just know it would not be the proper thing to do to correct the wrong impression. The 6 months he was in Seattle, he noticed something. Sunday when the church bells rang, everybody went to church. Well, you know, probably only 20% of the people did, but I'm not going to correct him on that. I'll let him live with that wrong impression as long as it's you know, making him more open to Christianity. So he came to church for a few months and then, you know, started pulling back a little bit. hearing the gospel, you know, and they don't believe that they're sinners, and he didn't like being told that he was a sinner. It takes a while to get over that. But he liked reading the daily bread. So I said, okay, I'll bring the daily bread to his house. Now, I could have the daily bread sent straight to his house. But that would defeat my purpose, now, wouldn't it? Because I want to have some contact with him, even if it is only once a quarter. I started doing a Bible study with him. He wanted a Bible study. It's supposed to take 1 hour and only last 6 weeks. After about 6 months, we had done 4 lessons. I couldn't manage to keep him on a lesson. He always had some questions. After 6 months, he said, I'm too busy to keep doing this. I mean, sometimes they're till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's got to get up at 5 to go to work. He said, you need to go home. No, I got more questions. Well, you know, I'm soft to that. I want to answer the questions. He said, well, I'll continue to bring the daily bread to you. He said, okay, do that. And for probably 3 years, I'd go to his house every quarter with the daily bread. I'd ring the doorbell. The lights are on, but nobody's answering. And I can hear people in there. Or sometimes the door would open, the hand would come out and take it. Thank you. And, you know, then the door would be closed. Say, you're reading that? Yeah, I keep reading it. So I kept taking it back. I wished I could say that Mr. Hamada has become a Christian. Not yet. Shortly before coming back to the States, in fact, about a year before, he started asking me into the house again. Not in to sit down, just to stand inside the door to talk and ask questions. Continue, and we see some progress. I know it takes a long time. I don't like that it takes a long time. But if a long time is what it takes, I'm going to stay there and continue and do it for a long time. Hopefully, Mr. Hamada is going to become a Christian soon. We have to continue to reach those that God brings across our path. If we don't, there's no future for Christianity in Japan. There's no hope for the people. There's not a lot of people jumping up and down to say, let me be a missionary. And those that aren't standing in line to say, send me to just about the hardest place in the world. I wouldn't have done it, except God worked in my heart to do that. You work with people, and you work with people. And slowly, slowly, you see them making progress. Those pastors that you saw on the slide, somebody worked with them. Somebody didn't give up on them. And they decided then to take the incredible step in their society to become the disrespected position of a pastor. 5-6 years ago, Frank Musk, another missionary, said, you know, we got to get these pastors together. They're on our island. They probably know of each other, but they never get together. Pastors need to fellowship. You saw on the map, some are 5 hours north. They're all spread out. You saw the mountains, you know, that's why they're 5 hours apart, because you can't get on a road and drive straight there. You got to drive around the mountains. So they said, well, you know, Asikawa is centrally located. We're going to have a pastor's fellowship and see how it goes. We'll have it right here so everybody can come. So they inquired and they found out as many Baptistic pastors, shall we say, as you could, and they invited them. I don't know, 3 or 4 showed up. You know, it's like, you know how when strangers get together, they're very formal, and they talk a little bit, they're very starting to find out. But they say, yeah, we can do this again. It's done I can't say every 6 months, it's done twice a year, usually in the beginning of October and May. But to see them come together as a group, now when they're together, it's like, they're best friends getting together. You know, they can communicate with each other and relate to each other better than they can with us. They speak better, and they understand the culture. They all came out of the idolatry. They all came out of the Buddhism and the Shintoism. And they said, we're rejecting that, and we're going to do something else, and we're going to be despised in this society. That we haven't had to do that. I'm glad I haven't had to do that, but it makes it difficult to relate to people that have. After a few years of them getting together, they finally said, you know what? This is good for us. What can we do to get our people together, our churches together? So it was their idea to have the summer camp. We missionaries didn't think of that. It was the Japanese pastors that are starting to get a burden for not just their little group, but the island as a whole. and come together. Probably the most encouraging moment that we had the past term in Japan was going to the camp and seeing about 80 Japanese Christians there. We hadn't seen that many Christians together in Japan, period. And to see them all together, I think the missionaries are more encouraged than anybody else. Finally, in a year and a half ago? Almost 2 years ago now, wasn't it, when Ken Beal turned his church over? Ken Beal had been there for 25 years, working away, slowly seeing progress in his community. What? It'll be a year in March. Just a year? Wow. Yeah, it will be, won't it? Time flies. And he found a Japanese pastor to come and take over his work. He'd been there for 25 years. Now, this has not happened on Hokkaido before for a missionary to have a Japanese pastor and come and take it over. We have, for the pastor's fellowship, usually 13 or 14 show up. Every Japanese pastor, every missionary in Hokkaido went to that commissioning service for that Japanese pastor. Why? A great moment of rejoicing for us, finally fruition. What we're there for is happening. And everybody wanted to see it. They couldn't have it at church. They had to rent a community center so they could fit, 100 people in there. It happened because people didn't quit. They continued. They did what was right just because it was the right thing to do. They couldn't look around them and say, look at all this fruit to do. This is fun working with all these people, because nobody was having that experience. They said, it's the right thing to do. We're going to do it. Whether the numbers are there or not, we're going to do it. In fact, they said, even though the numbers won't be there in this country, we're going to do it. And God gives the reward. In Japan, we look at the little signs of progress in people's lives. When Saiko said, I'm finally beginning to understand what Easter is about, or Christmas, it said, Christmas is about, our hearts jump for joy. The knowledge is finally getting in here. That means that God can have something to work with down here. I don't know why it took so long. I don't like that it took so long. But I'm glad that God kept us there and kept us continuing. We're going to need prayers to continue. When you preach and teach about something, that's when Satan comes and says, that's exactly where I need to try and get them. I'm expecting to be tempted like never before to quit next term on the field. But I'm resolving to not do it. And we'll need prayers for that. Pastor Black.